Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Well, we are in a series as a church, and if you're visiting today, we're really glad you came, and we know that God has brought you here for a purpose, to hear his voice today and to really just understand the plan of God for us and for the world. And we are going through these different specific things that we've got written down in our vision here. And today we are going to be taking working together as part of our vision, that we are called to work together. Without vision, the Bible says, people perish. And if you are without vision as an individual, particularly without God's vision for your life, things will go wrong. And actually, you will run around in circles and actually not achieve very much in your life. The opposite end of not having vision is to have too many. Have you ever met somebody who's got too many visions? They do nothing. Was it just me? Have you ever met somebody? Or you might have a lot of visions on the go, or a lot of plans. But you know, there's a Greek proverb, you won't find it in the Bible. It says, he who chases two hares will end up with nothing. So if you're chasing two rabbits or two hares, you will actually end up with zero. And so I believe God's vision is to define what we're aiming at and aiming for as his people. We've been brought out of darkness into the kingdom of heaven, and we've been brought into God's plan and purpose. Therefore, we are actually working the greatest plan on earth. There's nothing better you could do with your life than to run with God's vision. And that vision is to be outworked in your family life, in your workplace, but actually the vision is to be held up high above any other goals, so that we're running with his vision for our working life, his vision for our family. And primarily we're seeing this morning his vision for his church, the body of Christ. So when we say we're working together in the vision that Jesus has for us, what does that mean? Well, it means being a member of Jesus' team. Now, the only way you can be a member of Jesus' team is to be born again. Unless you are born again, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And essentially, that's our vision, is to, in a broad view, to see the kingdom of heaven come. And so, Jesus actually said, when he came, and there was lots of religious systems, and lots of people's ideas, he actually says, I'm going to create a new wineskin, and fill it with new wine. Because that's what I'm going to work through and with in the earth. And what was he referring to? Well, individually, when you're born again, you become a new creation. And therefore, God is able to use you as a new person. Because the old person isn't qualified for God's plan. You have to be qualified. You know, if I was to enter into the Olympics that are coming in a few years, I would need to run a few races to see if I would qualify. And let me tell you, I would not qualify. And to be honest, I don't think there's much hope of me ever qualifying for the Olympics. But the day that I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was born again. I was given a new heart. God put his spirit in me. And I was qualified for his plan. I became his wineskin, and he put his new wine in me. He gave me his spirit. Individually, we are not going to see the plan of God come to pass. That's why when Jesus was talking about the new wineskin, he was talking about the body of Christ, of which Jesus is called the head. And so Jesus is saying, as your head, you are part of the body and you become a member through faith and through being born again. That's the entry point. That's being a member of the body, not signing a form, but accepting Jesus Christ. You know, membership classes are, in one sense, they can do good in terms of bringing people to the same mind. But you can only become a member by receiving Jesus Christ. And immediately you become a member through being born again. So working together means we're a member of Jesus' team. The body of Christ. Because that's who he is working through in the earth today. We're qualified because we've received a new life. And we are now new people. See, the old me was totally unqualified to serve God. I couldn't please God, and I could do nothing for him. The new me is qualified. I please him, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so we have a new nature, a new power, and a new ability. But we're also born again into a new family. Okay, so God doesn't just deal like this with me. We have a personal relationship with him. But he deals with his church. And he's the head of his church. And so I believe this morning you are hearing a word from the head. Via me, but his word is coming. His understanding and wisdom is going to come to you so that he can direct your life and move you into his plan. As the body of Christ and as individual members, we are not a collection of body parts. Okay, so you're not just a kidney on your own. You're not just an eye on your own. You're not just a foot. Each part has a place, a function, a role in the overall purpose of the body. Okay, so it would be ridiculous to think of my kidney living without the rest of my body. In fact, my body wouldn't live well. I'd have to go on dialysis. And the kidney would die without the body. And so these individual parts, each one of them designer made. I love that. God has designer made you. I tell you, Versace's got nothing on the new creation. By his design. But every member has a part, a function. There is diversity in the body. Isn't that great? We haven't all come together as a bunch of ears. But there is a diversity here because God has ordained and created us to be just that. So removed or separated from the body, actually every individual member is useless. I'm being very strong in my language. Can I have the next slide, please? Removed from the body, an individual member is redundant or useless. Doesn't have, I'm thinking in the natural body, your body just will not be able to function. Some people never get this revelation and they are the poorer for it. Because actually we have been designed and created by God to function in the body of Christ. And without this understanding, you will never fulfill your personal destiny or call. Because it's only in the context of his body will I fulfill what God has ordained for me and what you have been ordained to serve God with in your life. So the kidney works in the body. The hand works in the body. The eye works in the body. Sandra works in the body. Jane works in the body. Dave works in the body. Mark works in the body. That's where you work best. That's where you find your place and your, I nearly broke into French then. Raison d'être. Your reason of being. Because that's incredible. I'm really not very good at languages, but that was just a little. So you have your place. You find your reason of life. You find this is my that. In the purpose of God for the body. Because remember, the head, Jesus, has a purpose. He doesn't just want a body. He has a purpose for that body. When Jesus came, God didn't say, a body I've prepared for you, gave him a human body, and said, there, let me just admire you. He said, I've got a plan for you. And you're going to fulfill that plan. So the head is directing the plan of his body. Thank you, Jesus. And we work in context, independence of the rest of the body parts. In Romans 12, 27, it's a great chapter if you want to look afterwards on God's view of us. We spend a lot of time, and it's very important, building ourselves up in the knowledge of who we are in Christ. But sometimes we can become very unbalanced if that's all we ever do. And God really wants the whole counsel of Scripture to come into our understanding so that we can live effectively and fulfill his will for us. I'm just going to go right through to... Sorry, I've got the wrong verse. Wrong reference. Romans. Somebody help? Anybody help? Let the body help. On the body. Yeah, there's 1 Corinthians, there's Romans as well. Let me try 1 Corinthians then. Romans has also a revelation, but 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27. That's the one. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Thank you, church. Now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. I know that isn't rocket science, but for some people, they don't think like this. Scripture says, you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. So I understand my life in the context of the body. I understand God's purpose only in the context of the body. I don't understand my purpose in my family alone, natural family. Hello? Anybody? It's not found in my workplace. I am a member of the body, actually placed and set in by God. And in this place, I will prosper and enjoy life. In this place, I'm going to be healthy and fulfill why God ordained that I was born. It's wonderful. Absolutely liberating. Some people think this is going to restrict their lives, but actually this is the most liberating word. Ask a kidney sitting on a pavement if it would be liberated if it got back in the body. It would say, yeah, I'd enjoy that. Because then I could live. Ask an ear sitting on the breakfast table when you go down for breakfast. Where will it enjoy life? On your head. So everything works best. You work best as a part of the body of Christ. Now, you know, if you think about being a member of the body, sometimes it can seem a bit like a jigsaw puzzle. Maybe a 1,000-piece jigsaw. If I ever saw one or had one for Christmas, please don't buy me one. I would just be like, oh no. Do I really have to put that together? And that's why I thank God I'm not God, because I look at the church and think, oh no, I can't put that together. But God puts everything together. And if there was one piece missing, isn't it annoying? Doesn't your eye go to the one piece? Yeah. You know, you've got this beautiful kind of Alp scene in the jigsaw, and there's glaring gap. And all you can do is forget the mountains, the snow, the sun, the meadows with all the cows with the bells. All you see is the gap. And I sometimes think the enemy works very hard to make as many gaps as possible, both for the ineffectiveness of the member that's not there, but also to weaken the body. And also to communicate something that is such a lie, that you are insignificant. Because if your significance is found within the context of the body, then the enemy wants to make you think it's insignificant that you're not there. And I wrote this down yesterday. You are vital to the success of God's vision and plan. You are absolutely vital. Every member is vital to the success of God's plan. There is not one person in this room who's not needed. There's not one person who is not designed by God to bring this together with all of us, this vision to pass, of an exceedingly great army. You see, only we can do it. And if a member of the body isn't there, often what happens is there's an overwork. Or somebody has to try and do the job, but doesn't do it as well as the one who isn't there. Because only you are graced to do what you do. Your role and function is the one you do best. Thank you, Jesus. And that values every member. It values every person in this room and all the children who are not here and all the workers and all those who actually physically didn't come this morning. It puts a huge value on every person, from the back to the front, from the one who's feeling insignificant to the one who's thinking they're a great part of this body. God is a way to sort that one. Because we're all members. We're all equal in Christ. And God has a role and a function for every one of us. Now, as you notice with your physical body, certain parts of your body work more closely together. So if I was to play the piano, I wouldn't use my knee. But I would use fingers, my palm, the tendons in my arm would be used, my bone structure here. This group would be more closely working together. So when I play the piano, my whole body doesn't climb on the piano. But we work in different groups. Just as we do in the natural body, so it is in the body of Christ. We work in different systems so that we can actually accomplish what the head is asking us to do. So can we have that up? Certain parts work more closely together. They work in groups, fingers, palms, wrists, forearm, bones, tendons, integrated and working in the context of the body. You wouldn't enjoy my preaching so much if my arm wasn't so expressive. Maybe you would. I wouldn't enjoy my preaching so much if I wasn't able to express. And God has so much to express through his body. But he can't just do it with one of us. He uses different groups of us that are synergized, brought together by the Holy Spirit, and in working operation together with the vision of the whole body, to see his kingdom come and his will done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. So I just had a look yesterday, wrote a list of KFSW, King of Faith Southwest, at work. Because if you say, my body is working, you will see fruit from it. You won't just see a picture. You'll actually see what happens through that body. And I just wrote down, I think it's 15 different things that happen to make this a working church. And that's probably not nearly there yet. But faith groups and faith projects, I would say, are the primary core groups in the church. Faith groups are the smaller groups that are participating members, that care for one another, that are connected and involved in being discipled. Okay? That is the vision Jesus has for his body, and the way it's outworked is in faith groups. And so to be a member of his body, by design, you will be connected with others that will bring you strength, encouragement, prayer, support, that will receive from your gift and the grace that is on your life with every member doing its share. The faith projects are teaming up with others to meet needs and win people to Christ. So there are certain faith projects that God has spoken to different members of the body about. And they are running with a vision together with teams. These teams are wonderful. They are truly an expression of Jesus at work in this local community. Thank you, Jesus. There's a new believers team, a worship team, a hospitality team, a prayer team, a children's ministry teams, sound team, editing team, welcome team, business prayer team, offering team, resources team, setup team, projection team. I think that's quite a lot of work. Give yourselves a round of applause. I think it's really important to see that we are a working body. This is the body at work. And if today you are not part of any working team, then please do give your name at resources or come and see us. And we will pray and seek God to find your place of work in the body. Your place of work, of service, actually. That's actually the primary thing, is to serve. So that's KFSW currently at work, and with that kind of future, if we're looking into the future, that is what will actually continue to produce an exceedingly great army. Without those working teams, there will be no army. Hello? Because God always works through his church. Okay, so get in the picture about working together in the vision. Now, if you look at this next slide, that's the Oxford rowing team. I like that one. I chose that one because of the smile. Yeah. Because I know there is a scripture that says, serve the Lord with gladness. And I like that scripture. I also find it a bit of a command at times. Because serving requires work. But I believe our serving in God is to be full of joy. But just think, if you were in that boat and somebody in front of you was just going along for the ride. Okay? Because every member is in the boat. Every member is in the body. But just think, if the bloke in front of you was not rowing, what would you feel? Pastor Andrea very honestly said, annoyed. But I believe there is a right kind of attitude to that. Because it's like, guys, we are running a race together. If you pick up your oar and get stuck in, we are going to reach the goal. Yeah. You know, if I was on a canoe and somebody wasn't paddling, it'd be like, I would have something to say. Yeah. Don't say you wouldn't. Hello? You'd say, like, some of you parents with kids, they don't wash up, wash up. And you get a little bit stronger until they do. And I believe that we need to see that every member is to stick their oar in and get paddling. Because we can go further because of it. We can move faster because of it. We can see more people won to Christ because of it. We can see the growth of the kingdom because of it. We can do incredible things if we join together in the vision and work together in the vision God has given us. I think another thing, another fruit of somebody not paddling is the team that are get tired and overworked. And it's one of the things that we really don't want to see. And I think partly in the summer, I realized I was taking on too much rowing. And Pastor Andrew and I had a real time together seeking God to actually say, you know, I'm not going to row more than I should because actually I'll come out of the race. And there is a right balance of not overworking, but each part doing its share. We don't want anyone in the body to overwork, but we want every member working so that together we can fulfill the vision that God has given us. Thank you, Jesus. So it's very important we operate in balance with these illustrations, and that we, you know, use our frustrations in the right way, because sometimes it is frustrating when faith group leaders have prepared so long and somebody doesn't show up, or there are prayer meetings and people just don't come, or, you know, it is something that we have to deal with, isn't it? Hello? Can I be honest? I have to deal with this as a leader when I know that God has called every member. It's not my vision. It's His. And it's ours. And each part is to own the vision and run with it. And so in the end, it's like, guys, come on, pick up the weight. In the prayer meeting in the morning when Pastor Andrea's leading, pray. Do your part. When the worship team are worshiping and leading, pray. Worship Him. Begin to engage. Lift up your hands. Get involved. Because it will change it for all of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is a good word. So, if we see that if we work in unity of heart, mind, and purpose, we can actually achieve everything God has called us to do. We will see an exceedingly great army. If we row together, and if each part genuinely does participate in the vision. There is a qualification, before I go into a real practical session next, there's a qualification of church teams or the body of Christ that makes us very different to other teams. Look with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I was meditating on this yesterday lunchtime when I was in the gym. And unusual for me to go to the gym on a Saturday, but I really had had enough and needed a break. So at 1 o'clock, I went down to the gym and I'm on the bike. And, you know, you're pedaling fast but going nowhere. It's not really how I like church. You know, I was just pedaling and I just thought, Lord, thank you so much for all the people that I've run with so far that made a difference to where I'm going. Because I have gone a lot further because of so many. Have you gone further because of people in this room? We've gone further because you tithe. We've been able. We support currently 3 missionaries. We'll be doing that in Generosity Week as a church. We've paid for stuff for the poor. We've been able to get a mission center that glorifies God in the middle of town and is actually relevant to reach this community. We've done stuff. We've had so much happen through the work of the church here. And it's a joy, a celebration of really seeing that, that will make a difference to your attitude to the body. I believe God wants us to change our attitude this morning, to actually thank God for the body, to thank God for every member, and to have a high appreciation and value for each one. Because there's no way we can do it without you. I don't know if you find this exciting. I know God does. But I believe that this is very powerful. You know, people love to come for healing, deliverance, ministry, power. Talk about the church and everybody goes... Sorry? Oh, yeah, it was about the church. I'm going home for lunch. And sometimes it doesn't seem as attractive, but actually it is God's solution. And it's a revelation we need for end times. Because we're going to see the end time harvest, we must have an end time church that mirrors Acts 2. Thank you, Jesus. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. We always thank God for all of you. Paul is praying about the whole church in this particular location. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before God and our Father the work, or rather your work, produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are not like any other team. Why? Because the scripture tells us we're not like any other team. Can I have the next slide? We have faith in God. So we're not like a knitting club, a stamp collectors club, or a cheese and wine club. We have faith in God. What is faith? Faith is working sure of what we hope for and certain of an exceedingly great army. So faith is we have a vision of what's going to be. That hasn't happened yet. So we're working towards that vision with faith in God. But it is a work. W-O-R-K. The Bible doesn't just say faith. It is a work produced by faith. I work because I believe. I actually believe that when I work, I'm working right now. I am working. I actually believe when I work, I am believing that I'm raising an army. I'm believing I'm a part of. When you put out the chairs this morning, you are a part of believing for an army. When you welcome somebody at the door this morning, you are a part of an exceedingly great army. When you prayed for somebody in need this morning, you are partnering with the vision to become an exceedingly great army. But it is a work, isn't it? Ask those who put the chairs out. Ask those who go in the car park and greet you. Thank you, Jesus, for them. Thank you, Lord, for everybody in the editing team, the sound team, the setup team, the hospitality team. Gail, you do a storming job. Thank you for the worship team, for the prayer team, the finance team. Lord, I'm so grateful for every faith group leader. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everybody in this room. Thank you for Vlad on the translation. That's a new team we forgot, but God didn't. Thank you, Lord. And so it's a work of faith in God. We do it because we believe. The projection. You're believing, you're helping people to meet with God. What a ministry! It's serving the King. It's seeing beyond, and I've got to play my guitar this morning. Or I'm on worship. But it's going, I am actually glorifying Jesus as I serve Him. And I'm also building an exceedingly great. I'm part of a great vision. Jesus is pleased. He called me to be part of this. And I'm given my work of faith. I'm not visiting. It doesn't say you're visit of faith. So we are partnering with Jesus in this work. A labor of love. And I would say, so many of you show the love of God in the way that you work. And I thank God for the love of God expressed in serving here in this church. But it is a labor of love. We are moved to action by love for God and for people. Whether it's the body of Christ or whether it's the world. Love moves us. Love for God and love for people. It means we are not selfish. One of the things you were delivered from when you got born again is the old creation of selfishness. The new creation actually has a selfless spirit, the Holy Spirit living in you. Now your flesh can put that love, that extravagant love, that sacrificial love out. But I believe that as we pursue the vision, then the sacrificial side of love is actually glorifying Jesus. I pay a price for you. This is how I love you. I actually pay a price. Jesus showed his love for us by dying. And I believe love is to be expressed in dying to our own agenda. The love of God is never just an emotion. It may be, but behind it is the plan to bless and to see the purpose of God fulfilled for somebody else. And so love is outworked in action. This is good preaching. I'm getting healed listening to it. I really believe that love, if we really are going to love the vision and love God and people, then it means we will pay a price to go on. Like those guys rowing, it's a cost to win. You pay a price to win people to Christ. You pay a price to make disciples. Don't you? Faith group leaders. You pay a price. And so I believe love is to be expressed, compelling us to serve, build, and reach people. And then finally, in this team from 1 Thessalonians, there is this endurance. We have the ability to endure. Say amen. What is endurance? It's just not giving up. It's not accepting that we're not going to go on. It just isn't an option. It's just not an option. So endurance is the strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. Our hope is in Jesus. We heard that in the prayer meeting. And that hope, that living hope, actually gives us the power to go on and serve God. I think of the endurance of the great missionaries that have changed the face of whole nations. And those people who, like William Wilberforce, endured I don't know how many years of failure. 25, I think it was. Until he eventually changed the law with a righteous act. Making all men equal, which is how God made us. But did he ever feel like giving up? I bet the first time he failed, he felt like giving up. Have you ever felt like giving up praying for the sick? Just me. Just me, Jesus. Am I the only failure that has failed in that area? Okay. But what if I had given up? The people that have recently been healed wouldn't have been healed. And so failure isn't determining what I do. If I don't win one day, I get up a winner the next. It doesn't change who I am. It doesn't change the power I have. And I have God's strength to endure and to continue until I reach the goal, which is that everybody will get healed. And so we have the ability. That's why we're not like any other team. We've got faith in God. Can I have the next slide? Faith in God, love that comes from the Holy Spirit inside, and the endurance that doesn't come from our own ability to keep going, but comes from God in us. Say, I'm not going to give up. I tell you, it does you a lot of good. Let's say it again. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go for God's vision. Yes, thank you, Jesus. We are God's winning team. So that is who we are, the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to go a little bit different now. And some of you who came to the Faith Project Leaders team meeting have heard some of this, but not all of it. But it'll do you good listening again. And some of you have actually asked me to do it because it did so much for you and your teams. And I believe we need to build teams. I believe we need to understand the value of working together and being really good at what we do. And I'm going to speak about playing your part in a winning team, but talk about England Football Club. Okay? And if you're from another nation, pray for us. We do well sometimes. We don't do well some others. But I want to use this analogy of working together for a common goal. Okay, so think football team. Are you getting cold? Okay, yeah, maybe some doors closed or I don't know. Think football team. And we're going to think about your place in the body. Now, I'm going to pick out particularly Wayne Rooney because he's somebody we all know and I know. But also I discovered yesterday his birthday's on the same day. So I thought I'll pick you, Wayne, because we've got a great birthday. Yeah, same day as my birthday. He's a little younger and a little fitter, but I have something he doesn't have. And that's Jesus. So what did you say? Beauty. Oh, Miles, go to the top of the class. And by the way, Miles is sporting a new pair of glasses. And I'm about to get a pair too, so we're going to be working together in that vision. Right, on England football team, the thing you notice about any football team is that they are one heart, one mind, and one purpose. So they come together with the like-minded vision to play football to win. Okay, so this makes them very strong. If one of them decided to come and play rugby, it would weaken the game. Or somebody got a new recipe for cakes and decided to bake one. And so the strength of the vision, and this is what Philippians tells us, that we are one heart, one mind, and one purpose. Because there's a weakening effect when we're not. So when we play as this church, we play according to the vision. Okay? We each do our part, but we have to be united on what we're doing. Some churches, when they come together, they've got really no idea where they're going or what they're doing. But we know who we are, we know what God has said, and we know what we've been called to do. The details are being outworked as we go along. So it is for Rooney, it is for us. There are different details, but he is one heart, one mind, to be the best footballer that he can be. Now, Wayne Rooney, he practices. And one of the ways I'd imagine he got to where he is that he practiced on his own as well as with different kinds of people. Because you can never actually be good at something without the investment of others. And I believe that training together God's design for his church. Today even is an equipping of the church to train you to be effective. Okay? And that is God's purpose of training. But practicing, serving, some people say, how do I find my place in the church? In the purpose of God for my life? Rooney just knew he needed to play football. He wanted to play football. And only by playing did they find out he was a striker. Not by sitting down thinking, well, I wonder what I am. And so many Christians sit down and think, I wonder what I am. Let's pray about it. Get stuck in. Stick your oar in and we'll see what you're good at. Rio Ferdinand is centre back. He only functions at his best in that position. But that has been discovered by his service or by his game. You know, when you play the game, we can see what you're good at. When you live to serve and be a member of the body, each part getting involved with wherever you've been asked to serve, then you will be redirected into the right place. And you will become, you will fit into that place effectively through just using your gifts. When you're training with others, you actually are there to raise the game. And I believe that we need to continually raise the game. I don't believe that somebody who was on fire last year and is just popping along this year is the will of God. I believe we're to go from greater things still to greater things still. To go on from glory to glory to glory. To see more of the love of God working through our lives. We're to see greater things still. And treading water is never an option. Praise God. Because we are to grow and develop in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you might have read in the newspapers this week, your private life will affect the game. There was a guy who was jailed this week for GBH and actually taken off the team, sacked because of his private life. And I don't really think we kind of understand the choices that we have to make actually affect us. Do you know, I'm not going to tell you what it was, but I was tempted to sin this week. Don't look at me surprised. Gosh, you should have seen their faces. It was like, suddenly they woke up. It's like, temptation comes from the devil. Okay, so he will tempt you to compromise. And of course he'll tempt leaders, because if leaders fall, it really does affect the game. Big time. There's more influence. So I was tempted to sin. And I overcame that temptation. I just started to pray, which is a great thing to do. When you're tempted to compromise, have a drink too many, say the wrong thing, pull somebody down, do the wrong thing with your body, pray. You'll soon come out of it. Because you can't sin and pray. And I believe if you start to pray, you'll soon be breaking through and away from that temptation. Anyway, the next morning, I just started my personal time devotion with the Lord. And the Lord said, well done. I said, right, great, what for? He said, you overcame sin. And because of that, I can do a lot more through the church. For me, it was a victory. But my private life affects this game. Your private life affects what we're doing. Rooney's private life would affect what he eats, what he does, affects how he plays. You can be, actually, you can lose your edge if you have a private life that doesn't serve the vision. Okay, this is good. I know some of you are like, Okay, now what does Rooney do? Rooney actually shows up for matches. He's picked, he's chosen like we are all for Jesus. But he then shows up. Round of applause for Rooney. Okay, what are we saying here? Well, Rooney doesn't actually get a call from his old school friends saying, let's have a social. Because he's actually prioritized his life. And God's priorities for us are top. And if we actually make decisions based on our priorities, then the other things will get done, but actually we'll end up doing God's thing first. Yesterday I had another opportunity to not actually play my game so we could have this morning like I'm preaching. Out of the blue, my sister shows up. I don't see my family very often because of the game, the beautiful game of church. I don't see my family. I miss them sometimes. I would like to spend more time with the kids. I love them. And it was wonderful yesterday. I just showed up at the door. Typical. Didn't have a mobile, didn't phone. I'm like, if only they would plan. I just said, oh, Ruth, what are you doing? I want to see you, but I can't see you. I am preparing for my work tomorrow morning. And it's my priority to serve God, not family. And that's what Jesus told all of us, actually, to serve God, put God first. So fortunately, she's around today. I said, it's all right, I'll leave when I've finished. So bye, I'll have done my work when I finish preaching, so cheerio. I'm going to see my family. Now there's you see, Rooney, he knows what his priority is, and that's football. We are in a slightly more important game. And it's not really a game, is it? It's God's purpose. And so if you will put your priorities according to God's will, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the... And all these things will be added. Everything comes... God added my family. And I bet you I'll have a better time this afternoon than it I've taken the whole day off, because God's grace and favor will be upon us. I really believe that. I believe it's a blessing to serve the Lord. I believe it's a blessing to be where I'm supposed to be. I actually believe this stuff. And I prove it with my life. Thank you, Jesus. When Rooney shows up, he's ready to play. He's focused. He hasn't gone for a gourmet meal and is feeling sleepy. Like, can you imagine? Oh, I've just had a huge burger. Burger and chips. You should be. It's a great new steak bar downtown. Beckham, who's not playing that much anymore, but I do know he still plays. I mean, he would look at Rooney and say, what are you doing, mate? You can't play on that. Yeah. And you know, sometimes it's like, we need to be lean. For the Lord, we need to have the right diet, and we need to know when we're on duty so that we can actually serve God. But I also believe in fun. Some of you nodded immediately. It's like, this is getting too heavy. I believe there is a God-ordained time for rest and fun. But if you don't put God's priorities first, you tend to overdo the fun and relaxation. And that actually carries no life of the Spirit in it. But if you put God's stuff first, then the fun you have is quality, my dear. And I believe we're supposed to laugh. I believe we're supposed to enjoy life. I believe we should celebrate life like no other people on earth, because we are the redeemed of the Lord. But it's a different kind of celebration. It isn't tainted by worldliness, but full of the joy and celebration of all the good things God has given us. When Rooney comes, he comes on time. He doesn't show up halfway through or leave halfway. Imagine Wayne Rooney just, I've had enough, guys. See you later. Carry on. He is actually dedicated not just to his own game, but to the team and to the nation. Do you want to change the nation? We've got to become like that team. Dedicated so that the nation can win. It's a winning team that will win the nation. It's the church coming back to its role, its devotion and dedication that actually will see the nation won to Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Rooney plays in the position assigned. He listens to the manager. And there is order in the body of Christ. There's leadership. And it's very important. I think it really amazes me how the team really listen to their manager, the England team. I think it's a wonderful testimony to the right use. Because the manager has the vision to get the best out of everyone. Understand that? So that they can actually play to their max, to their full potential. But he sees the overall picture. And that's what leaders in the body do. As we've been ordained to lead you, we actually see a broader picture than you do. That's why we sometimes make the decisions that we do that you don't understand. Because we are anointed to see the bigger picture. Thank you, Lord. Rooney plays with the team and is not a one-man band. So he actually understands that we win, not I win. There's that awful expression. I'm going to say it. You can groan if you like. There's no I in team. Sorry. Ooh, no I in team. But it's we. We're playing. We are on. And it's in this mindset that I believe that we can work together and do great things for God. There must be times when the players, the England players, have a bad day. And they still show up to play the best they can. And in the church, actually, there's healing for those who have bad days. So, you know, the Holy Spirit, the comfort and love that is shown to one another. Actually, there is healing as you come. There are people that just come feeling down and leave feeling encouraged. And I believe that we are changed, that God is so faithful to change us even when we show up for what God has called us to do. Thank you, Jesus. It's such a great testimony. Maggie's going through a challenge of faith, a test of faith with her sister. Just been diagnosed, and we prayed, diagnosed with brain tumor. We prayed on Wednesday night. As she came in, she just said to me, I had to come. First of all, I had to praise the Lord. This is to a prayer meeting. I had to praise the Lord, and I wanted to pray. And I looked at her in that meeting, and I saw the example of somebody who is giving their lives for the kingdom and losing sight just momentarily. Not that God doesn't want to answer your prayers and help you in the trial you're in. And that's what we're together for, helping people in trials. But she played the game on Wednesday night. Round of applause, Maggie. You did great. That's an example. That is an example of priority and understanding that if I seek first the kingdom, God's going to bless this situation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the reality of this life. And sometimes, you know, when you come, you've no idea what somebody's been through. But God can use you to lift their lives and to make their day and their week different because you said something and you ministered love and hope and encouragement. And I believe in the glorious body of Christ, building each other up in love, being there when we're needed, and standing with those who need standing with. I believe in church. I believe it's God's plan, God's agenda, and his vision for us as his people. Now, the vision we know is to win, but what happens when we lose? Well, we should aim to win the next day. And I know we all face discouragement. I believe everybody in this room has faced discouragement in your faith because that's what the enemy attacks. That's why Paul says you need to fight the good fight of faith. But actually, if we lose one day, we need to have another attitude to get back up and win, which is part of the endurance and the power of God working in our hearts and lives to really keep us going to win. Discouragement is aimed to make you stop, sit down and stop playing. And you know, sometimes I bet Rooney faces somebody else getting such a great report. And maybe Rooney hasn't scored for a few weeks. He must face like all the kind of ideas of, I'm not so good anymore. I can't do what I used to do. I must be losing something. And that really is the attack of the enemy on us. That, you know, don't listen to the lies. Build yourself up. Encourage yourself in the Lord. And be encouraging to one another, because you are able to lift somebody back into a winning attitude and spirit. Amen. We are actually born again to win. That's God's design and God's plan for us. And when somebody scores, we all score. When Rooney scores, I actually say to the television, we won. Now, I wasn't there. I had no part whatsoever. But I kind of identified so much with the team winning that it was my victory. I believe there's a joy that comes in your life when somebody else wins. And you're like, you go. I love to see the people of God winning. I love to see somebody lead somebody to Christ. I love to see new things, new worship leaders being raised up and released, new gifts, talents. I love to think of KFSW's Got Talent, where David is training these kids from Fly to dance, so they do a dance. I love to think of them doing a great dance and loving the life of Jesus. And actually, they're going to do a Christian song, so it's going to get right in them. I want to see our kids blessed. There's a lot that goes on in helping people to win. But when one wins, we win. Last weekend, we had an amazing baptism. An amazing, it was a wonderful, one of the most exciting, powerful days in the church. But that was us, guys. And even if you weren't here, it was us. Because this is what we are building with God and His grace. And that is the greatest vision to serve on this earth. So one heart, one mind, this is God's people. And in God's eyes, nobody is on the bench. You know how you look at the England team? You've got a lot of these fantastic players, they just sit on the bench. In God's church, no one's on the bench. All of us are players, absolutely. We're all on the field. And we're all part of God's answer to see the vision come to pass. Praise God. Working together effectively. Everyone is significant working together in the vision. Have you heard the Lord? Are you a part of a winning team?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Now we're going to take communion together. And just pray for one another that each part will really fulfill the purpose of God in building this vision of an exceedingly great army. Okay, so let's stand together and let's pray, and then we'll pray for one another as we take the bread and wine. Thank you, Jesus.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044-1823-664-186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.